Welcome to Social Mornings with Jackson and Steph, the conversations we have with our today's Q106 Facebook Live audience at the beginning of each show.
So Steph doesn't know this.
What?
But
I don't know what Mr. Boston's vodka is either.
Well, you're about to. You're about to find out what that is, but you don't know what I title the podcast normally, because I set it up over here on my phone. And today it is, maybe she needs a vent.
Really?
Or I think she needs a vent.
You're a mind reader.
Because I get, you know, oh, Jackson's going on a rant again. Oh, blah, 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 blah. We're going to try to make him mad. But, hey, sometimes we got to get some things off of our chest. And, you know, you're 50% of this relationship. And sometimes, which I can't imagine, having to work with me has got to be the greatest thing anyone could ever ask for. But it would appear sometimes that you got a vent.
Yes. So I've been doing really good this whole month of December, and I'm one to say, like, find the joy in everything, slow down and smell the roses,
Yeah. Embrace
those moments that are happening, like the kids having breakfast with Santa this past weekend, the giggles, the joy of that moment.
Didn't look like anybody cried.
You're right. Nobody
Santa.
Cried. Yeah. Everybody was having a good time.
I can tell Bryce is uncomfortable. He had his hands in his pockets.
Oh, he does that now so he can adjust his crotch.
Oh, I do that too. That's a good move. Also, you got to do like the, like if you get a wedgie, you do the spin and pull.
Man, because Otherwise, I even got him new boxers because he kept touching his crotch all the time.
Boxers, like, boxer briefs?
I don't know. The ones that are on your skin.
Boxer briefs.
Okay, boxer briefs.
I just got a new set of those for my photo shoot. Woo!
And I want to vent about that. Those are way too expensive.
Yeah,
it's a 3-pack for little boys. It's like, it should be $5. Why is it $10 for 3 boxer briefs? Because they have Super Mario Brothers on. He's 6.
Something I don't understand is if you go to buy a pair of jeans... And I'm a bit bigger now, but back in the day when I was like a size 32, back in my younger days, a size 32 pair of jeans cost the same as a size 40. Why is that?
Oh.
There's more denim being used.
There's more denim.
A lot more.
That would be body shaming.
A lot more denim being used.
Is that body shaming in 2019? Why am I being charged for extra material?
It's always been that way, though. I've always wondered that. Like, I'm glad I'm paying the same as those skinny fellas are paying. But back in the day, I'm like, why am I paying so much? But underwear, I've said before, you can tell the economy is doing well when people are purchasing underwear, when men are purchasing underwear. Economy's doing good. I got a new pack of underwear the other day.
But oh, really?
They were not cheap.
See? And I will say this. Being the shopper that I am, and my husband has even noticed, he's like, why is men's clothing more expensive than women's clothing? Because he went with me, he walked through the jeans while I was shopping, like through the juniors women's section. He's like, You can find jeans for yourself for $20. I can never find a pair of jeans unless it's clearance, clearance, clearance. But he's like, typically the men's section, I can't find a pair of jeans for $20.
I think on that, there might be more of a demand in the men's side. You don't see a lot of women wearing jeans anymore. There's that. I think also might have a materials part of it with men. It's more denim, full denim with women. They have the stretchy material inside the denim now. So I think that might be a little bit cheaper because it's a rubber type material or a plastic type material that's in there. So I think you're knocking the quality because
that's true.
Like if you were to buy a denim jacket, like I have two very nice Levi's denim jackets that each cost over $100 that I bought at an outlet store one time. Because it's very high quality denim. So that might be why.
Mm-hmm.
And because they know men aren't going to buy jeans as often. So when they do, they need to get them. They get them when they can, where women are going to buy clothes. I mean, compared to how often we buy clothes, my wife comes home with a new dress all the time. I wear the same clothes all the time.
Northwoods John says he can find his jeans for $13 at Sam's Clubs or Costco's.
Well, there you go.
Wow, that's a good find, because sometimes when I'm shopping through Costco, I think some of that clothing is expensive.
That's one thing I don't skimp on. Now, I don't buy, we used to have, before you were here, there was a guy that worked here, and he was wearing a pair of jeans, and he's like, yeah, these jeans cost $600. And I went,
$600?
Yeah, and I thought to myself, they look like crap. They had like they're already worn like in the thigh area and things. And I thought, you paid, so why $600? Why pay $600? And they had a sweatshirt on that looked like something out of the 80s, and it says like a $200 sweatshirt. I'm like, for an ugly... It was Obey was what it was the brand.
Okay.
And at first I hated seeing that. I don't say anyone that's going to tell me to obey anything. They're just going to kick your ass. And then when I found out how much his clothes cost, I really wanted to kick his ass even more than that. But I will buy Levi. I try not to go anywhere else other than Levi's. I think I'm wearing Levi's right now. And that's I'll buy a $60 or $70 pair of jeans because I'm only going to buy one or two pairs of jeans.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll buy a $70 or $80 pair of shoes because I'm only going to buy one or two pairs of shoes. And I wear them until my toe's sticking through the corner of them.
All right, time to vent. So this is what's going on.
What's up, babe?
I'm sure that a lot of you guys are experiencing this. It's December. You're getting a week away from Christmas. So it's just the list upon list upon list, and you start feeling like you're drowning. So it's like, okay, the shopping, the wrapping, the events to make sure that the kids are meeting Santa, the driving around being taxi mom. Oh, on top of that, being a parent, being a wife, and having a job. Oh, and then on top of that, a family funeral is happening this week.
That part is, I'm guessing that part has a lot to do with it because...
Yeah, I think it is.
That's not a planned part of it.
For sure.
It's really interrupting. And yeah. I mean, this in a bad way. It's interrupting everything else that's already going on in a stressful time of year.
Exactly.
And it's not interrupting. It's not like, hey, on Friday, we're going to the water park.
Right.
And it's like, oh, damn.
Yes.
I can't wrap these presents because I'm going to some water slides.
Exactly.
It's like, no, I'm interrupting these other stuff I have to do because I have to go and be somber and sad. And we lost someone
and
that we love.
And be very present. So it's like everything else, of course, gets put on pause. But some things you can't really put on pause.
Yeah.
Because... you know, you definitely want this time to be joyous for the kids.
Absolutely. Now, are the kids coming to the funeral?
That's what we are debating. And what part, how long, because it's a full day. Everything is happening on the same day from the visitation to the actual burial to the luncheon.
Is this your husband's family?
Yeah, so it's my husband's uncle. It's his dad's twin brother. So that was another part my husband brought up, which was a good point. He's like, the kids are going to see grandpa in a casket, you know, if you look through their eyes, because it's his identical brother.
Yeah.
We're probably doing the funeral with the kids for part of it to make grandpa feel really loved. But then we won't do the typical line if there is an open casket. We'll just keep the kids.
As a licensed therapist and certified VCR repairman, I recommend not taking the kids. They're a little too little, in my opinion. It's going to be hard for them to sit through the service.
Yeah, so that's why we're like, what part do we bring them to? Maybe the luncheon? Because they've been to funerals before.
That I would take them to the luncheon. But any of the part where it's somber, I call it the celebration, because you should. I always say this, don't mourn the loss, celebrate the life.
Right.
But I would bring them, and this is my opinion here, do what you want to your family, but my opinion, when you have, like, especially with a wedding, don't bring the kids to the ceremony part of it. It's not going to be fun for anybody. And they're going to be fidgeting their seats in there, and they're going to be doing whatever, and then you're going to be worried about them saying something. And because they're little kids, they don't give a crap what's going on. They don't know what's happening. I would say the luncheon, I would see if you could find someone to watch them for a few minutes, which is hard to do. I'd add another level of stress to you.
Yep.
Is this at least in your area, or do you guys have to travel out of town for this?
It's somewhat in the area. Pardon me. And going from experience, because I've already taken the kids to three funerals, and like you're saying, during the actual... service part of it, that is the part where everyone's quiet. You want to really listen to what the priest or the pastor or the speaker is saying.
The eulogy and all that stuff.
So that's when we have had another family or friend take them out. And usually at funeral homes or churches, they purposely set up an area just for kids.
Yeah.
But like for Brad's grandpa's funeral, I missed the most beautiful part. I love hearing the priest's eulogy. That's where it just like lifts you up and you hear what they have to say. So that's what I said to Brad. I'm like, I don't want to miss that part, but I don't want to put that on somebody else. So like my best friend, when my stepbrother died, she was the one that took the kids.
Jump on air real quick
here.
Changing gears. Today's Q106 Morning Show with Jackson and Steph.
Okay, every day around 6:45, we play Campy Steph. It's pop culture trivia. It is so fun because, well, I love pop culture trivia. And I've been on a roll. Yesterday, though, the contestant got all five correct.
Yes.
And we have a fun theme going that Jackson, he comes up with the questions. He even gives you a cheat sheet every afternoon around 4:15 to try to help you out so you can win this cash jackpot. What's the theme going until Christmas again?
So the theme going until Christmas will be Christmas movies. So every single day, all five questions will be related around the same Christmas movie. But here's the deal. I know that Steph has seen a lot of these Christmas movies. So I got to kind of navigate some of these questions and make them about the... Here's an example of what happened yesterday.
Yeah, these were the questions about National Lampoon Christmas Vacation.
All right, Johnny Galecki plays the son in Christmas Vacation. What is his character's name?
Rusty?
The look on your face. I thought you were going to get number one wrong, and I feel like that's the easiest one. Okay, question number two. What hit show about brainy nerds was he the star of for about 9 seasons?
The Big Bang Theory.
Are you really nervous?
Yes, Ryan got all 5. I have to get all 5, otherwise he wins $55 today.
You look incredibly nervous right now. Okay.
Okay.
So question number 3. The neighbor in Christmas Vacation is more recognizable from her role on a show about nothing.
Seinfeld. These are great questions. This is fun. Okay, Seinfeld, yes.
Yep, there we go. Seinfeld there. Yep, okay. All right.
So Why is the carpet all wet, Todd? I don't know, Margo.
Change something here real quick.
Oh, are you going to put in some fun music? Oh, the dramatic music to make me even more nervous?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that for you, Steph.
Okay, that's so I have you. 2 more questions left, right?
2 more questions. And $55 on the line here.
I know.
Right. Doris Roberts is more known for her overprotective, sassy mom in this Emmy Award-winning show about a sports writer that people love.
And I loved that show. Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, anyone ding up there again? Keep turning that one down. There we go. Okay. All right, so can you tie? And tie goes with the step. Keep in mind, tie goes with the step.
Turn down this dramatic music. This is too loud. No, don't turn it up.
All right, here we
go.
Come
on. All right.
Cousin Eddie, played by Randy Quaid, steals the show with his antics. But in what movie does he fly a fighter jet into the core of an alien spaceship, saving humanity from extermination?
These were easy today. That's Independence Day with Will Smith. Yes. How'd you do while you were playing along? Oh, I can't wait to see what movie it is today at 6:45.
So, see, that's what I have to do. I have to kind of change the questions a little bit.
Love
and
it.
Today, you're going to be excited about the subject, but you might not be excited about the questions.
Ooh, and hey, it's up to, what, $60 now
60
today?
$60. All right. Can't Beat Steph, presented by St. Vincent de Paul, around 6:45. Having fun writing these questions. I already even wrote my questions for tomorrow's Can't Beat Steph.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I got to find movies for Thursday and Friday, and then Monday, though. I'm running low on Christmas movies.
Oh, man. There's plenty.
Yeah, there should be plenty of them on there. But, you know, now we're going to start getting to ones where has everyone seen Jingle All the Way? You know,
I have. And how ironic. I was just looking for that movie the other day. It's on HBO.
A very underrated Christmas movie, Jingle
so
All
good.
The Way.
I wanted to watch it so bad.
Yeah. That's what, is it Sinbad?
Or
is
Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes. I love Sinbad. I loved his stand-up comedy. And he actually came to the comedy club last year, and I didn't get a chance to get tickets, and everyone said he was so sweet, he was
really?
So funny. He's literally legit one of the best comics, and he's never said a swear word on stage.
Oh, I love that even more than. Same with Jim Gaffigan, one of my faves, who doesn't have to swear to be funny.
No,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, what it's great about Jim is you will see people of all ages at his shows.
Yes.
You know, which his wife is very religious, and he has several kids, and he just has always written jokes that way, where me, one time I said the F word about 35 times in 2 minutes.
I know. And you even said that was too much for
excessive.
You.
Now, I will say this, though. Last time I did a Thursday at the comedy club, which is like, you know, coming into the weekend, I was opening for the headliner, Robert Kelly. He got up on stage. He said 6 words, and 4 of them were the F word. And I said to McKenzie, I said, well, that was even a bit excessive for me. I was like, holy crap. Like, he got up there and went right away. As soon as he took the stage, boom. And I went, well, there's a gauntlet has been thrown down here, apparently.
Just like I taught my kids yesterday when we were doing the cookie decorating, less is more, because they take the whole thing of the Jimmy's and pop it all on the cookie. I was like, no. Oh, and then they would grab the gold balls and the black balls and put it all over. I'm like, you're going to break people's teeth with all the balls on your cookie. And of course, my brother-in-law loved me saying that.
Yeah. Breaking balls over here.
Thank you so much for all your sweet comments and your condolences to our family and Brad's family. All you live feeders are so sweet. And Debbie did say that she put a gift for us up front, so we'll have to go see what that was about.
Ooh.
She sent me a message yesterday. I dropped off a gift for you and Jackson. So.
And Janine, if you're on here or if you listen later, my wife
follow-up from yesterday's
blown
episode.
Blown away at that baby Yoda. Mm-hmm. And I need to know, how long did it take you to make that?
Yesterday on the live feed, she said a couple days.
A couple days, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that
she, because I gave it to you. You told me wait till Christmas, but she was going to hear the podcast anyways, yeah. And we're going to be contacting your husband about his gift.
Correct.
So
gift swap.
Yeah. So I got home and I said, "Hey, Steph, got you something in return for you giving up, you know, your ticket." And then she, I have a picture of her. She, oh my! And she sat there and hugged it.
Oh my God,
she lost. She's like, "Do I take it to work? Do I keep it on my desk? I don't even know what to do with it."
That's awesome.
So excited. And the craftsmanship on it was just absolutely amazing. Janine did such a great job. And
yes.
So thank you. We now have two of her crafts in our house. Lily's got, which I think is super cute. We decorated her bathroom like under the sea. So we have the little jellyfish in a jar. And yep. Then now we have the baby Yoda. So good Woo! Job on that.
Yes, you guys rock. Thank you so much. And we have a special treat for you. Jackson had a moment with country legend Oak Ridge Boys.
Yeah. So
who did you chat with again?
Joe Bonsall of the Oak Ridge Boys. Last year, I was able to talk to Richard Sturban. Hey, this is Richard Sturban, you know, the Oopa Mau Mau guy.
Okay.
And so they're coming to the Crystal Grand Music Theater on the 21st. So ahead of time, they asked me to talk to them
nice. And
to do a little interview. It's a fun interview. These guys went to the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2015. This band has been around since the 40s, but this group has been together since the 70s.
Okay.
They're, in my opinion, and I said this last time, but they didn't think it was very funny, the original boy band. Yeah, because they're a bunch of guys that were put together, like, you know, kind of like Menudo. A singer drops off, they bring a new one in.
Oh,
you know, and,
okay.
You know, they've been a bunch of different, you know, variations of them, but this has been the core one. And we have a really fun conversation about some serious country music legends. So we're going to play that right now. I am talking to a country music legend, a 2015 Country Music Hall of Fame inductee, along with those other three amazing performers, Joe Bonsall of the Oak Ridge Boys. How's life going on tour right now?
Well, you know, we're doing really good, man. This is a very aggressive Christmas tour, like as we do every year, because as you know, we always come to the Dells, and we're coming next week, but 31 shows, 31 cities. We're out there pretty good. I think we've got 9 left. We're in Holland, Michigan tonight. So we're plowing ahead, and everybody's feeling good and singing good. So we're holding up.
So, you know, there's people that think, like, you know, when you work for yourself, you know, you really kind of get to pick your schedule, and you do. But when you're a performer, you got to go out and do the do. Are there any Christmas traditions or anything that you miss at home while you're on this huge tour right around, you know, the biggest holidays of the year?
Well, you know, we were home about 4 days before Thanksgiving, and I helped my wife decorate the whole house then, which we would probably normally do a little bit later. And then we've stopped into home one other time for 2 days, and we will be home this Monday and Tuesday. And we get home, and then we have 5 more days next week, including the Dell. And then we get home the 23rd this year, and then we're off for a little over 3 weeks. So, but we'll catch up. We'll get it all done.
So is it like when you get home, like with other people who aren't country superstars, you know, they come home and their wife has a list of things to do since you're gone for a couple weeks at a time. She's like, "Oh, glad that you're here because I've got a shelf that needs hung. Go get the hammer."
Time. I don't know that I'm good enough to hang a shelf, but I got to tell you, I still have a honey-do list that's pretty long whenever I get home. Yeah, yeah. There ain't no big Oak Ridge Boy superstar thing in my house, no. My wife says get to work, and the cats look at me like, why are you back home?
Yeah. Yeah, that is the difference between dogs and cats. When you come home, dogs are excited to see you. Cats are like, oh, I guess you're here now, huh? That's how that's going to go.
Yeah, it's like they have a look of disdain.
Yeah, yeah, like, hey, we were fine here without you. Just put out some kibble and quit trying to pet me. But, you know, being down home and being able to take care of your own stuff, that's what makes you guys grounded and honestly makes fans love you as long as you have. You've been doing this tour in the Dells and stopping in the Dells for a number of years. To keep it alive for you guys, what's your favorite part about doing this down-home Christmas tour?
Well, this tour this year is really cool because we have the new album, the down-home Christmas album
that
came out this year, produced by Dave Cobb with some great songwriters, hit songwriters, writing us some really cool songs. So new music is always the key to almost anything you're going to do. And it's fun to sing some of the old stuff. And just like our big tour during the year, you know, you want to sing, you know, some all the old hits that people really want to hear, and you enjoy doing that. And then you've got new songs from time to time if you make a new album to add. The Christmas tour is no different. We've got some songs on the show that we've been doing for years, like Christmas is Painting the Town, and Winter Wonderland and Jingle Bells, but we've also got all of these brand new songs. And also, we've upped our game on our production this year, too. Our big video boards are really, really top-notch this year.
Oh, nice.
And so the whole tour is really pretty fresh this year because of the new music.
Have you guys ever thought about changing when you come here? Because Wisconsin's beautiful. We got a lot going on. And the Dells are really a jumping spot in July. You ever thought about doing Christmas in July instead of December?
Well, no, but I'll tell you, though, we have played the Dells in the summer back before the Christmas tours. I can remember times bringing our shows there. But, man, the Christmas show has become a tradition there. I mean, we've been there every year for, like, decades now, I think.
Yeah, the Crystal Grand loves having you. The area loves having you. I know it's always jam-packed when you guys are here. And
yes, it is.
Just absolutely wonderful. Talking to Joe Bonsall of the Oak Ridge Boys. Now, I did a little bit of looking, and I'm going to have to ask you a question. Some pictures popped up from back in the day. And you ever thought about bringing that fro back? You had a world-class head of hair back. I mean, you got good hair now. But back in the day,
no,
that was,
I don't.
Oh, yeah, I saw the pictures. You look pretty good. Back
well,
in the day,
I'm lucky to have hair now. But, but to be honest, I don't think this hair would ever go up in one of those fros again. I think you ought to look on the Oak Ridge Boys Twitter account today at Oak Ridge Boys.
Yeah,
I just tweeted a little while ago a Throwback Thursday picture of the Oak Ridge Boys with Freddie Fender and our manager Jim Halsey in London in 1977. Look at that hair.
Yeah, I mean, you had one of the world's best and maybe most forgotten froze. That's a quality head of hair. And one thing I love about you guys is you seem to get along so great. I did a little bit of studying on the Oak Ridge Boys. You guys are the longest, the four of you are the longest group that's been together, because if you look back, Oak Ridge Boys started back in the 40s. What was it like when you got that call back in, I think what it was, 73, when you started? What was it like to be able to join? And they already were an iconic band. Join such an iconic band.
Well, the thing is, it was a thrill, obviously, and I jumped through the phone and couldn't wait to get to Nashville. But I have to tell you that, there was already so much water under so many bridges with our relationships. I mean, I used to promote the Oak Ridge Boys in upstate New York and across Canada. And me and William Lee Golden became good friends. He would book my Keystones Gospel group down south. I'd book them up north.
That's great.
Wayne Allen built a studio and produced my little group. He did 13 albums on the Keystones.
Wow.
And it was a little contemporary gospel group I was in for years. And Richard and I actually sang together in that group for 6 years before he went with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps and Elvis and then joined the Oaks a year before I did. So I seemed to be a natural choice for them. They liked my singing. They liked my approach. They liked what I brought to the table. And so it still was an incredible thrill to all of a sudden be an Oak Ridge Boy. I wrote in the book On the Road with the Oak Ridge Boys that I wrote that when my plane landed I think I flew into Columbus, Ohio to meet the group. And when the plane was landing, I saw the Oak Ridge Boys bus in the parking lot. And it was like one of the biggest thrills of my life. I am about to be an Oak Ridge Boy. Yeah, man. And here I am all these years later. I was 25 years old then. I'm 71 now. And I'm still an Oak Ridge Boy.
That's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, you guys bring so much joy when you come here to the Crystal Grand. You're going to be here December 21st. You got the new album, the Down Home Christmas Tour. You were just in a video. I saw you guys shot a music video with Dennis Quaid was in that and so many others. I mean, you guys have been together so long, and it seems like you're still in your prime, and you just bring so much joy. And it's clear that you guys get so much joy and feed off of the crowd, otherwise you wouldn't still be doing it at 71.
Oh, exactly. We love singing, and we love this Christmas tour, man. Our goal every day is to try to stay as healthy as we can so we can get to that stage every night, because the Christmas tour is just something different from the rest of the year, and the people love it, and it's really fun. And by the way, if people want to see that video you're talking about,
yeah,
if you go to YouTube, and if you put Oak Ridge Boys Reindeer on the Roof in search, I guarantee you it's the only thing that'll come up.
And a chance for you guys to reach some new audience as well on these new platforms. Back in the day, the only way you could discover music was if the local station was playing them. And I think it's a really great way for other people to discover your music and just how great you guys are. So again, Crystal Grand Music Theater, December 21st, the Oak Ridge Boys. You can get your tickets at crystalgrand.com. Thank you so much, Joe, for taking some time. I now have talked to 50% of the band. I got a chance to interview Richard last year, and you guys were a lot of fun. And thank you so much for taking some time. We look forward to having you here in our area.
Well, I appreciate you helping us with the date up there. We're looking forward to it. We have a lot of friends in that area. We thank them for all of these decades of support. And, hey, man, let's sing.
You betcha. Thanks so much, and you have yourself a good day, and keep those vocal cords nice and velvety.
Thanks, brother. God bless and Merry Christmas.
You bet. Merry Christmas. Bye. Again, get your tickets at crystalgrand.com. The Oak Ridge Boys are going to be there on December 21st. That's coming up this week. Thanks so much for tuning in to Social Mornings Podcast with Jackson and Steph. You can catch this podcast live and contribute by jumping on the Today's Q106 Facebook page Monday through Friday at 5:30 a.m. We usually wrap up around 5:45, but it's a good time. If you enjoyed this podcast, please click share. And if you want to check out any other episodes, you can find them all at Q106.com.